turning our Bibles today to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, as we're going to talk about the persecuted church today. There's a lot of persecuted people today in our world, and it's nothing new because persecution has happened ever since the church began. From the book of Acts on, you can see it. Amen. Well, let's notice the word of God here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Father, I pray your blessings over the ministry of the Word of God today. And may, Lord, may we all be challenged, Lord, to spread this gospel that everyone may hear. Give you the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Like I said, persecution is nothing new. It happens today. It happens strongly in many worlds, parts of the world today. And just as an example here, North Korea is one of the most oppressive regimes for Christians. In North Korea, is known for its brutal expression of religious freedom. Any expression of faith outside of state-sanctioned activities is met with harsh punishment. According to the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Christians in North Korea face imprisonment in labor camps, torture, and even execution. Owning a Bible or gathering for worship can result in death. Yet the underground Christian church continues to survive. Believers secretly pass down script and meet in hidden places to worship Jesus. It's not that way here in the U.S. What we're doing right now would send all of us to prison if we lived in North Korea. But I'm glad that we have the freedom to worship God today, but not in all places do they have freedom. And so they need to be objects of our prayer and supplication, intercession to God for their grace and the strength that they need to endure what they have to endure. So we're talking about the persecuted church this morning. And we're talking about the church in Smyrna. And throughout the church age, the church is undergoing persecution. The message of repentance isn't popular. People don't like to be told what you're doing is wrong. People like to be told you're better than everybody else, you're great. But the message of repentance is not popular. It's not even popular among church people. Yeah, preach on the rapture, preach on the resurrection of it, and just back off on repentance. But repentance is part of the message, praise the Lord. Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. In church history, Martin Luther taught that justification is not earned by any human acts or intents or merit. Most important, Luther was a justification by faith alone and by grace in God. He was a Catholic monk. You can find it at monkey.com. No, that won't work. But he was a Catholic monk, and he got tired of hearing all the people, all the clergy say, you know, if you need forgiveness of sins, you got to come to the priest. He can make your confession before God, and God will forgive you. And so for $100, adultery, That's probably $150, and then you can be forgiven. So that was what was being taught, indulgences, and throughout the Roman world. And so Martin Luther saw the falseness of that. One day he began to read Romans and figured out that, you know, Christians are justified by faith in what Jesus did on the cross, not by paying some priest to forgive your sins. Okay? Luther insisted that since forgiveness was God alone to grant, that forgiveness of sins could not be purchased by giving money to the church. You say, well, that was way back then. Yeah, it was a long time ago. But it's probably modern day in the prosperity message taught by much of the church today. And I'm not against prosperity. I believe God prosper you. I believe God will help you. If you'll give to the work of God, I believe that God will help you. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. Amen. And but yet to say that you can get more out of God if you'll just give $100 to my ministry. And people that will say that, they're quite unwilling to give $100 to your ministry. So people hadn't changed too much. But we know the gospel of Christ can't be purchased. If we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so today many do not like the message of truth. Like I already mentioned, it bothers people to admit they are wrong. It bothers people who are told the truth about heaven and hell and eternity. Therefore, the church and its message in some areas are strongly resisted. Preach on anything, just don't say anything about hell or eternal punishment. But that is part of the Bible, and so we have to preach it. We preach the whole gospel and the whole truth. And God does not want anybody to go to hell. God made a way where you don't have to, where you can believe in Christ and return and believe that his work on the cross was good enough, that he paid for your sins on the cross, and you can be justified by faith and become a child of God and have an eternal inheritance in him. Praise God. And so here we find here that Jesus, the eternal God, speaks. These things, verse 8, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. And that would be Jesus. Jesus is the one who lived, who died for our sins, who rose again, the one who conquered death. And death is an enemy. And I believe that Jesus said, saw what sorrow and brought the sorrow of death brought to people and how they have to endure. The Bible says in one place that even Jesus felt that. He had never sinned, but he felt that when he wept over the tomb of Lazarus. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. But here it's talking about the one who completed the plan of redemption of mankind. Otherwise, all hope for humanity would be lost. It would be gone. But I'm glad that we have hope today. Hope today. We don't have just perhaps something good will happen, but we have eternal hope. It's not, and hope to us is just something that we just, you know, just kind of hope will happen. You know, you hope your insurance will cover your expenses. You hope your taxes won't be as high this year as they were last year. I can't promise you any hope in that. But hope that God has placed within us, we have hope of eternal life. Amen. Having, you know, been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We have a forever hope in God. Praise the Lord. These things saith he who is the first and the last. That doesn't leave anything out. And so we know that Jesus was active in creation. He and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all active in creation. And Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From eternity to eternity, eternity past to eternity future,
Jesus is Lord. He'll always be. He never began. He will never end. My friend, if you're a child of God today and you're on your way to heaven, you're in store for an eternity with God who can never fail, who's not failed, is not going to fail, and what he has promised he will bring to pass. Friend, we can rejoice today because we have hope in him who is eternal. There's no other plan of redemption. There's no other religion that gives life, hope, or deliverance from sin and its consequences. The work of redemption cannot be added to or taken away from. You know, I don't care whatever religion there is in the world, you can't add to that and make it a little bit better. It doesn't get better than God himself allowed himself to be crucified, allowed his son to be crucified. It doesn't get any better than God giving his only begotten son. He's the first and the last. There's no other blood to pay for mankind's sins. I don't care what animal sacrifices there have been, human works there have been, but only the blood of Christ can atone for sin. And I know that's what we sing about this morning. I love to sing about the blood because that's the reason you and I are on our way to heaven and forgiven. 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, knowing for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, according to the vain conduct of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. If people thought eternal life could be bought, they'd be saving up gold and silver to do something besides play the lottery with it. They would be stacking up their silver and gold, trying to purchase their way to heaven, but it wouldn't gain one person, one forgiveness for any one sin ever. It took the blood of Jesus to atone for sin because the wages of sin is death. And that's what Jesus did when he paid for our sins with his death on the cross. Okay? Church history reveals the persecution of the church after Jesus' resurrection. It can be seen throughout the New Testament, throughout the book of Acts. People were persecuted for their faith then. They're persecuted now. Verse 10 here, it says, that you may be tested. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. You will be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Perhaps this was a 10-day period when the church in Smyrna would undergo severe persecution. It's the best I can do as far as interpretation. Okay? But the church will be tested. Trials, tribulation will come. Tests will come. Not the great tribulation here, but tribulation is in the sense that it's talking about trying times against the believer. Jesus promised that persecution would come. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. That's wonderful. Amen. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I believe God has promised, as he has here in all the churches, to have bit to overcomers. And if Christ overcame the world, Christ in us will help us overcome the world. Amen. And persecution comes because people will not yield or will not deny their faith in Christ. One that's heard of, talked about in the history of the church is Polycarp. I went to school with a girl named Polly, but her last name wasn't Carp. But Polycarp was a devoted believer, a Christian who would not deny Christ for anything. And as the religion went into the Roman Empire, it was required that all people in the Roman Empire worship or bow down to the Roman emperor of that age. Polycarp would not bow. They came to him and said, all you have to do is say, Lord Caesar. And he said, only one is Lord, and that's Jesus. Not Lord Caesar, not Lord anything. Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. He died a martyr's death. He was burned to death. But yet, he stood for Christ. Persecution came I can assure you the eternal reward is wonderful as he's walking streets of gold with our Savior, with his Savior today. Praise God. So we find here Jesus, the eternal God, speaks. And second of all, we find here in the church of Smyrna, God knew their works. He knew their behavior as believers. And God knows ours. In verse 9, it says, I know your works, I know your tribulation, I know your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And so the Lord is saying to the church here, I realize that you're in tribulation. I realize that you have some poverty among you, regardless of what the prosperity preachers preach. He said, I know that there's some poverty there. He said, but really you're rich. Because you see, riches are not in wealth that we have. Riches are if you know Christ as your Savior. Riches are if you're born again of God's Spirit. Riches are if you're on your way to glory. Riches are that God has already paid your way into heaven. Riches are that you know Christ, that he knows you, that you become a child of God through faith, that you have a heavenly destination, that you're citizens of a different world. Praise God. And God is getting ready to come back. I do believe he could come any day. He could come today. We want to be ready to meet him. Praise the Lord. And so God knew their tribulation. The poorest person materially, whether wealthy or poor, is spiritually rich if they have unwavering faith in Christ. He knew their persecution. He knew that false teachers had arisen, as there always have been. Pagan teachers, people that are not saved. Paganism and the world cannot produce anything righteous. Amen. And the world is full of religions, supposedly with a good set of rules to try to make you feel better when you die. But religion is just simply man's search for God. But that search ends in Christ. The search is over. When you come to Christ, you've found him. He's found you. He wasn't lost. He found you. And stretched out his hand of compassion, he said, I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you forgiveness of sins. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll become a citizen of a different world. Your citizenship from now on will not be in equipment. It'll be in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Praise the Lord. And so, Jesus here knew their persecution by false teachers, pagan teachers, those not saved. And he said, they pretend to be real, but really they're a synagogue of Satan. And a synagogue in the Jewish mind was, any 10 men could form a synagogue, and they would get together and read some scripture and probably sing a little bit. I don't know exactly what they did in synagogues. I don't know, there was a synagogue of Satan. It might have been called a synagogue. You find one of them almost anywhere. But many today play church, gather in beautiful buildings, but there is no true worship or submission to biblical authority. I'm told in England and other places that there are great, beautiful churches that were built years ago, but now they're just empty except for they're used for people to have dances and drink and party and all that kind of thing, and the furthest thing from church. It's sad, but that happens. But where there is no true worship or submission to God, then God's not there. And there's things today that are awful that happen. We think, well, all that happened overseas. The other people, no, it's here. The Satanist Bible, which was made by Anton LaVey, sadly, this leads many people astray, away from the truth, away from the wonderful Jesus that saved us from eternal destruction. There is no Bible except this one. Praise the Lord. One Bible, one way. God didn't change his mind on anything. Say, well, I'm just going to make something new. It's a little easier for everybody else. And there are scriptures that are easier for people to read. I'm for Bible translation to every language, every tribe, every tongue, wherever it can be translated, where people can understand. I'm for that. But there is no Satanist Bible.
And today, God knows your works. He knows my works. He knows your difficulties. He knows what you face right now. He knows what you will face this week. And I'm not saying that it will all be bad, or it's just for people that are undergoing awful things. It's not just for the sick. It's not just for the unfortunate. No, God knows you and knows where you are and knows what you will go through this week and next week. And God knows how to help you and walk you through as He did this week. He's the same yesterday and forever. He's a wonderful Savior, holy, mighty, powerful, pure, gracious, glorious. He's not going to quit. He's not going to cast you out and say, I'm tired of you and I'm through with you. He says, you are mine. You're born again. You're in the family of God. You belong to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so the writer here, Jesus says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And so that's what God really wants His people to do, is to be faithful to Him. Not I'm saved, or I'll call on God today, or I'll call on God when I need Him. And otherwise, I just don't know. I won't go. I'll go to church on Easter and Christmas. Mother's Day, if it might make her happier. But I just really don't have any interest in anything except me. That's not the Christian way. It's not a selfish way. It's not a self-centered gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. It's for everybody. And He says here, there's one thing you need to do. He said you need to be faithful unto death. Don't lose your faith. Don't give your faith up for something else. Don't say this is better and that's better and this can help me. But my friend, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, a judgment. Everybody's going to face God. And I want to face God. You want to face God knowing that you took on and you believed in His Son as to atone for your sins. Praise God. And that way you can be faithful unto death. Keep living for God regardless of what happens. Things are accomplished when people are faithful. This is also true in the secular world. People get a job to work for somebody. And you know, 2 weeks later, I don't like this job, I'm going somewhere else. But there are a few people that say, you know, I've got this job and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to learn how to do whatever I've been hired to do. I'm going to do it as if I'm doing it to Christ. I'm going to do it, I'm going to give it my best. Might not have the best employer. He might not have the greatest words to say about you or to you. But I'm going to stay with this. And people that stay with stuff learn the work and learn the job, and actually eventually, and they don't quit, they don't give up. I'm not saying that there's not a reason to quit a job. There's not a reason. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that people that stay with it learn how to do what they do, and they become what they are because they stayed with it. They were faithful. A person that's a carpenter, if he stays with it, after a while, he'll learn how to build a home. He'll learn how to build a house. He'll learn how to use a saw and drive a nail. You may not see a few that couldn't do that, but anyway, He'll learn the trade. He'll learn the job. He'll become what he is, become a carpenter because he stays with it. And my friend, you'll be an overcoming believer if you learn to just stay with it. Regardless of what any church or any church member or any church person or this, that, or the other, no matter what ministry fails, no matter what preacher you had failed along the way, no, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be faithful until Jesus calls me home. I'm going to walk with Him, talk with Him. He's promised to lead me and guide me. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to continue to be really filled with the Holy Spirit until God calls me home. Man, be faithful unto death. You will receive the crown of life, the reward for being faithful. Galatians 6:14 says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified and I to the world. Amen. Let me close here. Most preachers aren't good at closing. It takes them 30 minutes to close. It won't take you that. Verse 11 here, he says, he has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Saved from the second death. It's defined in Scripture as eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. You say, well, you don't want to talk about that. My friend, if I stay with the Bible, I've got to talk about it some. Jesus talked about it, talks about it right here, second death. It's difficult for people to die physically many times. You hear of people once in a while that just went to sleep and didn't wake up and that was it. And you say, well, Lord, I sure would like to go that way. You hear of sometimes there's believers that have lived a overcoming, victorious life, been a faithful Christian, and sometimes they suffer with a disease for a while before they die. And you say, well, I need an explanation. There is one. Be faithful unto death. Whatever way you go, just be faithful to God. Amen. And so, that's what he says, be faithful unto death and you will be saved from the second death, which is defined in Scripture as eternal separation from God. I can't imagine leaving this world and having no hope in Jesus and having no hope of eternal life. And there's people that teach that there's no survival after death, after physical death. You just become, you return to the dust. The physical body, yes, does. But the spirit lives on eternally. And so, people have various ways of describing that, but if the Bible says, and if Jesus says you don't want to do the second death, my friend, he's telling you the truth. You don't want to die without Christ. You don't want to live all your life and say, well, you know, in the end, you know, no, probably nobody makes it anyway, so I'm not going to. No, Jesus said you couldn't be an overcomer. Amen. You can overcome whatever comes your way because God will give you the grace and strength to walk it out, whatever it is. You say, well, nobody's ever been what I've been through. Oh, really? Amen. People have been through 1,000 times what you've been through and what I've been through and whatever we will go through. People, you know, from eternity, from the Garden of Eden of on till now, people have gone through various things just like you've gone through. And God has always been faithful. You know, there's a Bible scripture, this God will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I believe in this Jesus. I believe that God has made a way. I believe God is the way, truth, and the life. And we can have Him and love Him, and we can concentrate on His cross and say, Jesus, I believe as you bled to death on that cross, as blood dripped from Calvary's tree, it was for my sin. It was for everybody's sin. And you loved each one of us the same. Regardless of what sins I've committed or been through in the past, you didn't leave anything out, Lord. You completed the work of redemption for me till you could say, it is finished. Praise the Lord. And so I'm glad that the work of redemption is complete. Jesus left nothing out. He left nobody out. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. And so God gives the invitation to all. Praise the Lord.